Tatiana Lens is a proprietary software developer by day out of sheer economic necessity, that girl and freedom-loving coder by night. But I think she beats herself up. She's got a, she has a very strong interest in free software. Is writing her own and publishing software, so yeah, doing some cool things. So.
Okay. So initially, and what I emailed Ben about, my talk was going to be entitled something like Free Software, Freedom in the Age of Corporatism, and I was going to talk about my own experience in the corporate world and my frustration with proprietary software and the sort of corporatism that extends over everything, from the way you're treated as a developer, especially if you're a woman, to the lack of ownership and control over your own code. But as I was trying to put it all together, I felt really frustrated, and all I could do was just go round and round in a litany of complaints and dissatisfaction. And the chief one amongst them was my own situation that hasn't really changed. I'm still in a walled garden and I haven't been able to scale the wall. So I thought, what should I do? How can I deliver this talk? And then I thought about what I would really like to hear and what I would be inspired by. So I decided to focus on someone that's been on my radar of interest for a number of years, and that someone is Matt Mullenweg, who's one of the co-founders of WordPress. So that's, just in case it's not clear, that's like Roy Lichtenstein, the sad girl crying. Okay, so now I like him, and you know, like has been co-opted by Facebook, but I'll just use it. I like him for a number, and WordPress for a number of reasons. One is that WordPress is actually one of the bigger and more important free software companies in the world. Even though, interestingly enough, Matt Mullenweg, sometimes I go into this German fictional thing of his name, Mullenweg, frequently characterizes the company as being open source, but he always talks about the GPL. So it may not be, it may not be the biggest one or in terms of companies or have the most revenue. And here I thought, here's an example. This is in 2008 when Sun bought MySQL for $1 billion. Just a bit of history there. And here's another one. So in 2012, Red Hat was the first free software company to reach a $1 billion revenue. And here's an article from a little bit earlier this year talking about a projected $2 billion revenue from Red Hat. I just thought that was interesting. My battery's gone. Nor does it have the biggest community of developers. So for instance, the Linux Foundation builds Linux as the largest collaborative project ever. So clearly, when I'm talking about it being important and big, what am I actually talking about? Well, what the unspoken aspect of it is the reach, the sheer number of people who are using this software, either as producers or consumers. And Matt Mullenweg sees WordPress as primarily a publishing platform. So you could translate that as publishers and readers. And there's also the aspect of reblogging and aggregation as well. So for instance, they have actually a number of products, but which notify various search engines, but actually I won't go into that. So in 2013, Matt Mullenberg talked about reaching 650 million people, which is quite a large number. And the numbers have only gone up. So here is one amazing statistic. 25% of all websites are powered by WordPress. And that's just from a quote from this is a blog that actually is run by Mash Mullenberg. Mullenweg.
I just called
him Matt. Matt, yeah. Because he actually said that his ambition was that if, when you Googled the word Matt, that he would appear as the top result. So he's actually republishing the results of the survey. So it's really interesting to see that, yeah, things are just going up and up and up. And I mean, it's interesting that like around, 57.4 is actually, they can't actually identify any publishing system. So that's interesting. I wonder if people are coding their own or using something so obscure that it doesn't actually show up in the HTML or, but yeah, 25%. So that's huge.
It's also interesting.
Probably the rest of the
web's
like Facebook.
No. Well, I guess this is not including sort of these walled gardens. I have to hold on to all my hardware to do these air quotes because so I don't think they're included because you can't. Okay. So WordPress started. How did it start? It started out of a free software project called B2/CafeLog. And it was first released in 2003 under a GPL version 2 license. And Matt Mullenweg, or Matt, yeah, let's call him Matt. It's really interesting because he does a lot of appearances at various conferences and interviews. And so there are actually a number of videos of him talking and about his experiences and describing and I would say evangelizing free software. Even though he talks, again, just to come back to it, he talks about it in terms of open source software, but then talks about the GPL, which I found a bit strange, but yeah. So he describes how he started contributing to this B2 project. He remembers it almost nostalgically and has a lot of affection for his 19-year-old self. So the story he tells has a number of sort of experiences that convinced him about the value of the GPL and the free software community. So basically the story that he tells is that he won some sort of competition and he was very excited and he went to Washington, D.C. and he got like his first digital camera and he had a whole bunch of pictures and he just wanted to upload them, but he also wanted to describe them, so he decided to blog and he was looking at all sorts of blogging software and there was quite a lot at the time. But he specifically talks about a software called, I should remember this, Movable Type, which was very, very big at the time. It was actually the leader in that space. But he said he found it too sort of complex to actually install. So what he did is he found this other software, B2, and he threw out a question. I think he said it was over an IRC channel, and he quickly got some help and he overcame this hurdle. And then he ran into the next difficulty, and lo and behold, somebody helped him again. And then the third day, he actually found somebody who was asking a question about the same problem, and then he was able to help them. So, you know, like instantly there was a bit of gratification. He felt like, you know, he was part of the community. And yeah, and then he actually talks about his coding experience. Let me just find that. Yeah, he started diving into the code, and it's really important to note that initially he wasn't a programmer at all. And here's a bit of biographical detail. He actually attended the High School for Performing and Visual Arts in Houston, Texas, learning to be a musician, and specifically a jazz saxophonist. So another luminary of this school is actually Beyonce. And
Beyonce was gonna kick in.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because he keeps mentioning her in all his talks. So for instance, in a WordCamp Q&A session at this year's European WordCamp in Seville, Spain, when he was asked for a reason to prefer WordPress to Drupal, he just went, "Well, Beyonce's site runs on WordPress." And, you know, she's so awesome. So, of course, you know, and it's, I really like that.
Psychological fallacy.
So, actually, that's another reason why I actually really like him, is that he seems to be a generalist. And he's very interested in the world and society around him. So, for instance, all the WordPress versions are actually named after sort of jazz greats. And this is like a screenshot of a video for the latest release of WordPress, which is called Billy after Billie Holiday.
The middle one, she's just stepped on a Lego brick.
Oh.
I'll shut up there.
Hey, I was just trying to find you some eye candy, that's all. So he started coding. And it was initially to solve his own problems and to cater to his own needs. But then, after high school, he was trying to learn more with his jazz saxophone. And at the same time, he attended the University of Houston, and he started working on, and check that, this is so beautiful. He started working on websites for musicians in exchange for music lessons. It's so beautiful. So anyway, the B2 project, actually the lead developer quit. And so basically they took that code base and made it into WordPress. As I said, in whenever it was, 2003. So, um, Yeah, and another reason, as I was saying, that I totally like him, and this is an important point to make, is that he operates in a very interesting space for free software, which is much closer to social media than other free software projects. And although WordPress essentially started as blogging software, it now seems to be more of a CMS, a content management system, and the future for it seems to be that it's going to be a web application platform and possibly an e-commerce platform. So when he first started in the early 2000s, there were a number of companies in this space, as I was saying, and the biggest one of which was Movable Type, and it had a proprietary model. Just by the way, it's interesting that only the GPL sort of blogging software really survived. So it was WordPress and Joomla and Drupal. And they have sort of the biggest share. I don't know why this keeps going out.
It's interesting that on that table you had there before, that the Google product Blogger is so small.
And they're new. Like, I'm talking about the stuff that actually survived. Like, none of the proprietary software that it was around at the beginning of the century, let's say, is actually around anymore, except for the GPL one. So,
yeah, it's interesting that Movable Type was actually released as free software because it wasn't keeping up with.
So I just want to go into what actually made Movable Type kind of fail, if you like, and I thought, has Movable Type actually died? And I looked it up, and for all intents and purposes it's died, but it was actually sold to some Japanese company in 2011. So because I thought that maybe they'd gone bankrupt.
Well,
but
they're
no,
doing worse than Blogger in that graph.
So what happened was that in early 2003, Movable Type actually changed its license and pricing model. And this outraged the users. And the rage was very, very palpable in that community because guess what? They all had blogs. Hey?
It's the worst community to
acknowledge. And the matter was brought to a head by a very influential member of that community who was a programmer. And he'd made a number of contributions in the form of plugins for Movable Type. His name was Mark Pilgrim. And he actually wrote a kind of blog essay tellingly titled Freedom Zero. And I think it's worth quoting at some length from this essay. He describes Movable Type, but by corollary, I think it can be applied to a lot of proprietary software and their ecosystems. So this is what he writes, or wrote at the time. Movable Type came with source code, so hack-minded individuals could add features like threaded comments or IP throttling. You weren't free to redistribute complete versions of your hacked copy of Movable Type, but you could release patches, and that was free enough. It had a well-designed plugin architecture, so it could be customized with a dizzying array of third-party plugins. You weren't free to redistribute Moving Type with those plugins pre-installed, but you could install the plugin separately, and that was free enough. It hit a certain sweet spot, which is difficult to define but easy to recognize when it works. Also, it was light years ahead of the competition. And then he goes on to describe how Six Apart, the team that were responsible for the software, came to focus their attention on something else, on some other product. Again, that's a life cycle that a lot of commercial software has. You know, it's trying to meet some commercial imperatives to, you know, monetize some new aspect. And movable type just, in his words, stagnated. And he quoted a fellow blogger, and in coming up with this gem, he said, "In the long run, the utility of all non-free software approaches zero. All non-free software is a dead end," which I really like. I was like, I'm going to have that, you know, maybe engraved somewhere. So in the blog, he essentially recommended that users migrate away from proprietary software, movable type, to free software licensed under the GPL, WordPress. And he concluded his blog essay with, "It's not about money, it's about freedom." And people, as we see, have been voting with their feet ever since. So I guess what I'm outlining here is a kind of flocking instinct or wisdom of the crowds towards free software, and that is something that WordPress very much drives, it seems to me. I feel more than any other figure in the free software movement, Matt Mullenweg is very socially active, and interestingly enough, in different parts of the world. He cultivates those in the developer community and also those more in the general public. One of the really interesting things that's been said about WordPress is actually that it caters to all levels of like technical competence and arguably incompetence. So yeah, I find that really interesting that, you know, not everybody can or wants to dive sort of headfirst into that kind of technical space.
That's something there. I know someone who's built quite a successful career out of being able to work with WordPress and be able to write a few lines of HTML, and is now working in for a local government in Queensland, and doing great. Like that council relies on her very heavily, and she really, she admits herself, she doesn't know much HTML. She just knows how to get a plugin and jam it in and make that work, and it's enough for a local government to go, "That's great, thank you, Kai, you saved our bacon," you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually going to talk about that a little bit later, because that's what WordPress has been very sort of successful in doing, in establishing an ecosystem for people to develop themes and plugins and actually make a living out of it. It's kind of really interesting. But yeah, we'll come back to that later. Ah, man. Sorry, I've got this Android tablet, but it's a Lenovo tablet, and I wanted to install Cyanogen, but I couldn't find one for this model, so it's all right. Anyway, and he's also very active in Silicon Valley, which I find really interesting, and he has an angel investment company called AngelList. And he specifically states that they have a preference for funding free software projects. Although, again, he doesn't use the term free software. He says open source. But that's what he really means, because Yeah. And he also says he would fund anything to do with barbecues because he's from the south. And it's amazing how huge the WordPress community is. And so there are all these WordCamps, which is kind of based on this. I think he said that he got the concept from Bandcamp, and Bandcamp is, I don't know if you know about it, but it's basically like a, it's also like a software project, but they actually did this whole series of camps where people, there were like conferences, but people could actually go and actually camp there and bring their sleeping bags, and just so that they wouldn't have to pay lots of money for like accommodation. And so he kind of took on that model. I don't know that people actually camp at WordCamps, because the initial WordCamp was only one day and it happened in San Francisco, as a lot of things do. But it's interesting, the WordCamp about page sort of says that there have been 509 WordCamps in 48 countries in 207 cities. So that's pretty amazing. And you know, there really is a huge development community outside of the US, which is actually quite unusual for US-based companies. And it's it supports multiple languages. Okay, so let's come back to this topic of the whole ecosystem and the themes and plugins. Sorry, maybe I should step back and just tell you for a minute what that means, like, because they're sort of WordPress terms. What does that actually mean? Well, the themes are actually, because when I first started using WordPress some years ago, I was like, well, a theme must just be a CSS style sheet. But no, it's actually, it's this whole load of like PHP files that, you know, obviously render into pages, but they use the basic sort of core functionality of WordPress itself. So there are all these WordPress functions that WordPress provides for you to kind of hook into their functionality and to build on top of it. So that's theming, and plugins are sort of adding to the functionality. And again, it's all written in PHP and MySQL. So in a way, the GPL is a kind of guarantee that that ecosystem will survive and hopefully continue to thrive. And that is actually, as it turns out, a big, big issue in that whole developer community, because again, that was the sort of bitter experience of movable type, that suddenly the whole ecosystem was kind of rendered invalid, and people who'd been making a living from it was sort of left in a lurch. And it's interesting, like Matt Mullenberg gives the example, a more recent example of Twitter, who deprecated their APIs, much to the unhappiness of their development community, or, you know, at least the people who were using the APIs. And they were trying to forcibly migrate everyone onto a new set of APIs, which they cunningly versioned as 1.1. So they're like, we're deprecating 1.0, but here's 1.1. It's like not compatible. It's not downwardly compatible. All your API calls are now broken, but hey, it's 1.1. So I actually looked at some of the anger online. And again, you know, people have these blogs, and there's a certain power that comes with that. So here, for example, is one reaction, and this is this guy who lives in the Bay Area, and he sort of concludes his blog with, "I'm really tired of this conversation," and that's the conversation he has of apologizing to his clients. "I resent you, Twitter devs, for putting me in this position. A pox on you all." Which I thought, you know, like that, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, very off the cuff and stuff, but it you know, there is some very real kind of raw emotion, and it's justified. And again, you know, I was actually talking about flocks, and I was actually reading this article in Wired that, and I'm not in any sense suggesting that, you know, Twitter is a predator, but basically there is this sort of description of the science that they're doing, and they're talking about birds, and that if there's a predator sort of attacking the birds on the edge of this great big flock, the whole flock will actually move away. So it's really interesting because, you know, a few angry people who are really very passionate and very, very involved in these communities will actually impact the whole perception of, you know, how this software is received, and it will actually move whole development communities like onto different platforms, to supporting different platforms, and that's what, you know, WordPress and Mash keeps emphasizing, is like the GPL is your guarantee that we won't do that. And I know we all know that in this room, but it's actually quite a novel concept to a lot of people, you know, like millions and millions of people, which is why I find this so powerful in a way. And in a more recent example, there was the acquisition of Tumblr by Yahoo, and there was a change in the terms of service at the beginning of 2014, and that also drove people away from Tumblr towards WordPress. And I forgot this slide, but basically there was an article in Daily Dot, and I love the way they described this, and this is how it went. They said, "Tumblr caused an accidental mass panic over the weekend when it unveiled the new terms of service." Which I thought, you know, it's interesting because people are actually connected through social media, and more so. So WordPress has had to reiterate over and over again to its developer and user base that it's GPL, it's licensed under the GPL. In 2009 and 10, for example, there was an attempt by a developer called Chris Pearson, who developed a theme called Thesis, to license his theme in a proprietary way. And in an online interview / confrontation, he actually talked directly to Matt Mullenweg. And he was being, I mean, it's actually really interesting, the whole sort of cultural aspect of this, because this was a guy who, by his own admission, actually started out selling fake purses and stuff like that, and then moved into software. So it's really interesting. But anyway, at one point, Matt Mullenberg, because they got into this kind of like verbal argument, and he was like, "Oh, sue me," you know, like Americans often do. And Matt sort of responded in this very, you know, interesting way, I think, for somebody who, you know, is in the corporate world. He's now the CEO of his own company. He wasn't. Well, he was briefly, and then he wasn't, but now he is again. And it's very, very, like him, very sweet and gentle for this kind of corporate cannibalism sometimes, I feel. And he said to this guy, "Are you saying you want to be a test case for the GPL? You want us to sue you? I mean, that would break my heart. I'd rather you be part of the family." And I thought, you know. So eventually, this theme developer did comply and GPL'd his theme, but it's been a recurring problem. And I'm actually amazed that this happens, but people do have a misunderstanding of free. It's because it's been talked about so much. I think nobody can make that mistake, but people still do. It's amazing. So as late as July of this year, Matt had to explain in his blog, for instance, and I'm quoting, "There's a term that pops up in the WordPress community, split license, that we should put to rest. It's sloppy at best, misleading at worst. And he reiterates that WordPress is licensed under a GPL, and that all derivative works or works that rely on it, such as theming, are subject to the GPL. And he quotes from a legal opinion of a lawyer at the Software Freedom Law Center, which was given back in 2009. And I actually forgot to include a slide of that, but it's actually a very, very considered opinion. And it's also interesting because I was reading some of Drupal's boards and questions, and they also actually rely on this legal opinion. So, yeah. And I also just wanted to just mention in passing what he was saying about Apple and the Apple Store, actually, which I found really interesting, because so in that sense of like, where is the community, like what are the expectations of community? And so in developing the mobile WordPress application in Cocoa, he said that what the WordPress team found, that instead, and they put it out in the Apple Store, but it was GPL'd, and they weren't even sure whether the terms of the store and the GPL were like mutually exclusive, compatible. But they just said, you know, GPL it anyway. And Apple sort of didn't throw them out, I guess. Mm-hmm. but what he said was that instead of collaborating, people actually tried to copy the app. And as he puts it, to go for the pot of lucky golden charms at the end of the rainbow. Which I really like, because it sort of summarizes everything that is kind of wrong about, you know, proprietary software and Apple's maybe model in particular, because there's this promise of this great wealth at the end. And it is this rainbow, you know, because, you know, I don't know what percentage, but, you know, most people, I'd say, I'm just pulling this number out of a hat, but 99% will never get there. And yet they all want to make sure that their software is proprietary.
I think you overestimate that.
Yeah, I'm going to say 99, but yeah. Yeah, I should have probably said 99.99. So, what is WordPress as a structure and how does it function as a company? It's a bit of a complex beast, or as Matt put it, I prefer the term Byzantine. So, are we going over time?
That's what I'm looking at the moment, but how much longer have you got, just so that I can...
Not say another 10, 15 minutes max.
10?
Okay, maybe you can time me and give me...
Sure.
But I'm really coming to an end. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting to actually look at the structure to see, well, how does he actually do it? How does this guy actually make money from free software? Like, how did he go from this 19-year-old to having this company? Okay, so basically, the two flavors, the WordPress.org and WordPress.com. And the WordPress.org is the earlier project, which started, as we were saying, as a free software project, and it continued as a free software project. Sorry, let me just see. Yeah, and Matt characterizes it as a passion project. And the company that he started was called Automatic. And it has the word Matt in it. This is what he said. He said, the idea behind Automatic, which is the parent company that runs WordPress.com, was first to create some place where I wanted to work, and then to create really the first company that married a really healthy open source ecosystem with a really healthy business. So WordPress.org is run by a WordPress Foundation. And in the US, I actually looked up the term in Wikipedia. Foundations are non-profit, or they're called charitable foundations. Anyway, just to give you a bit of a background. And as I said, Automatic runs WordPress.com. And when he was being asked if what would they do if a conflict were to arise between the company and the foundation, Matt actually replied that so far that has never arisen. And he talks about a negative example of MySQL, which splintered its licensing model. So it had a code base that was licensed under a GPL, but sold a different license to its corporate users. And he was sort of citing the fact that most of the contributors, over 80%, were actually employees to the code base, in effect killing off the development community. So he says that his model takes the best of the non-profit and the commercial aspects. So WordPress.org is run by the board and is a free software project for the core WordPress software, and it accepts donations. And WordPress.com is the biggest contributor to the project, but mostly they make their money by providing hosting of websites and providing customization in the form of paid themes and plugins, and helping register domains, doing backups, etc., and by providing tailor-made customization support and guaranteeing uptime for their VIP customers. And interestingly enough, there's also something called Jetpack now, which is also paid service for self-hosted sites, and it helps users deal with other social media sites APIs. So for instance, people can publish simultaneously to WordPress, Facebook and Twitter, or they can get real-time notifications on their phone. So he makes the point that even so, though sometimes there may be short-term gain, it's actually more strategic to willfully eschew some of the revenues. Ultimately, he says, it's better long-term strategy because you're growing your platform. And he also talks about something else which is rarely voiced in the corporate sector. He talks about morality and ethics. He actually publicly says, and I quote, the GPL is the most moral of all licenses. And I think I'll end with this quote from him, which I found, again, very inspirational. He says, and this is, and he's talking about WordPress as a whole, I want to grow an ecosystem. I want to grow the market. I want to grow the web in a way that is open, distributed, and independent. There's faster ways to make money, but I don't think there's better ways to make money than what we're currently doing. Thank you.
Thank you.